This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
More Americans are getting cash from savings.
And by savings, we mean retirement.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, hello, happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiotakis.
And I'm Bill Radke. You're listening to the Midday Update from Marketplace.org. It is, in fact, Friday, August 20th. A new report out today says more people are getting emergency cash to save themselves from the tough economy.
American Airlines gets slapped on the wing and the other wing and a little bit of the tail, too. It is a record fine. A rapper waxes for Warren, Elizabeth Warren, and all the news in a Marketplace Minute. That's later. But first, a new report out today says more Americans are dipping into their 401ks and other similar funds. Fidelity Investments says a higher percentage of people are taking out loans from those plans. That number at a 10-year high. And a record number of people with those investments made so-called hardship withdrawals. Jill Schlesinger is editor-at-large at CBS MoneyWatch. She's with us live from New York. Morning, Jill.
Good morning.
Why would somebody make this sort of decision? What's a hardship?
Well, I'll tell you, the bar is very high. The IRS says that you have to demonstrate immediate and heavy financial need, and the amount you take out has to satisfy that financial need. It can be medical expenses, costs relating to the purchase of a principal residence, tuition or education fees. And here's the big one, I think, payments necessary to prevent eviction from or foreclosure on a principal residence. You know, in the second quarter of the year, 62,000 people initiated hardship withdrawals compared to 45,000 a year ago.
Well, wait a second. We were worse off last year, right, economically? So, I mean, why is that number going up?
It is worrisome. I don't think surprising. Just think about it. We have 6.5 million Americans who've been unemployed for more than 6 months. 8.5 million who are working part-time. We've got this group of what we call the 99ers, those unemployed workers who have exhausted their unemployment benefits. This is why probably that, according to Fidelity, 45% of participants who took withdrawals a year ago took another one this year.
A second one.
A second one.
So the big question, Jill, then, how does the economic recovery spread to everyone? Apparently some people are, you know, some people with a job are feeling the recovery, but not everyone has a job.
Yeah, I really think this is a tale of two recoveries. You know, if you have a job and you have some assets, your assets have gone up because the stock market's up 60%. Your house has probably gone up a little bit from the bottom, and you're seeing some income growth. But then we have that huge pool of people who are either unemployed or underemployed. And I hate to sound like a broken record, but it goes back to job creation. I don't think until we see more thorough job creation across all sectors of this economy are we going to see a recovery where all of us are going to be participating.
Jill Schlesinger from CBS MoneyWatch. Jill, thanks.
Thank you.
Federal regulators plan to punish American Airlines for a week of canceled flights and maintenance problems dating back to 2008. The Wall Street Journal reports the fine could signal there is a tougher regulatory cop on the aviation beat because, as Marketplace's Gregory Warner tells us now, American Airlines might be looking at a record fine.
$25 million would be the largest fine ever imposed by the FAA on an airline. The federal watchdog says American Airlines didn't properly fix some electrical wiring on its fleet of MD-80 jets. For several days in the spring of 2008, the airline grounded the entire fleet. Thousands of flights were canceled. Independent aviation analyst Ernie Arvey says the FAA has taken the last 2 years to decide the size of the fine.
They certainly don't want to put an airline out of business or cause people to lose jobs. So you've got to calculate what would make them say ouch, but what would also be reasonable and feasible here.
Alan Michael is a professor of finance at Boston University. He says a fine as large as $25 million would be a record for the agency, but not out of character.
The FAA has become much more strict about the safety violations. They have imposed numbers of fines on numbers of airlines.
The exact amount of the fine against American Airlines could be announced in the next few weeks, after which the airline will begin the time-honored custom of negotiating it downward. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Chief Economist Chris Lowe at FTN Financial is here live from New York. Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
So stocks have tumbled again this week. The general vibe is downbeat. But you said the gloom is a little overdone?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, it's one of those weeks where we didn't get a whole lot of economic news. And when that happens, is we focus on some of the second string stuff. And that's what we did this time, and it was to the low side.
The new unemployment claims, for example?
Well, that's right. So those hit 500,000 this week, which is something of a milestone. Thing is, I think the reason they're up is that GM did not lay off workers this year during the usual plant shutdown period. And this is the week they should have hired them back. There are seasonal adjustments that offset things that happen every year. So those seasonals pushed the numbers upward because GM didn't hire them back and take them downward. The result was a spike. I think it'll reverse next week.
Okay. So it ain't good, but it maybe is not that bad.
Exactly.
And what about this, Chris, the big takeover news? We had the world's biggest mining company trying to buy the biggest fertilizer company, Intel buying the security software firm McAfee. Is all that a good sign?
Yeah, well, it's certainly a good sign if you're a stockholder. What's happening is that companies are sitting on a record amount of cash, and they're reluctant to invest it because consumers aren't spending a whole lot. If you got cash burning a hole in your pocket and you're not investing in new equipment, what happens is they start looking around for deals. We had 5 big deals announced this week, and the analysts are saying this is probably going to be the beginning of a trend. We'll see a whole lot of mergers and acquisitions this year.
Well, I hope some of that trickles down. Chief Economist Chris Lowe at FTN Financial. Thank you.
Thanks.
We're going to get a take on the global perspective now, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects us here in the United States. For those along the U.S. Gulf Coast seeking payment from British oil giant BP's $20 billion compensation fund, well, the New York Times reports today they'll have to waive their rights to sue. Not just BP, but suing any of the major defendants involved with the Gulf of Mexico oil spill. Meanwhile, BP insists that it's not hiding any information about the Deepwater Horizon disaster in the Gulf. The British oil giant responded to accusations by the offshore oil rig's actual owner. This is a company called Transocean. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Transocean makes the claim in a letter sent to the Obama administration. The letter claims that BP is refusing to reveal even the most basic information about the disaster. Transocean wants 16 specific pieces of data, among them a chart identifying BP personnel involved with the rig. BP, which could have to pay out tens of billions of dollars in legal claims, dismissed Transocean's letter as a publicity stunt. The company said it was designed to deflect attention away from Transocean's responsibility. Nick McGregor is an oil analyst with brokers Redmayne Bentley. He says this spat is all part of pre-trial manoeuvring.
I think we're now seeing an awful lot of parties jockeying for position to basically lay out where they stand in the endless years of litigation that are likely to follow, and the sums involved are not small, so they all have an awful lot to gain or lose.
Transocean itself is facing 249 lawsuits, which could add up to hundreds of millions of dollars in damages. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The midterm elections are on the way, and conventional wisdom is that, as far as American voters are concerned, it's the economy stupid. Well, Australians are going to the polls this weekend, and the same rule holds true down under, as the BBC's Phil Mercer reports from Sydney.
Compared to many countries around the world, Australia fared pretty well during the global downturn. But television ads by Australia's Conservative Party accused the Labour government of squandering billions of dollars on unnecessary stimulus payments. Tony Abbott is the opposition leader.
We will be in a much weaker position to respond to any new international crisis because of the spending spree that this government has been on. I mean, the government likes to boast about its economic credentials. This mob have turned a $20 billion surplus into a $57 billion deficit.
But the Prime Minister Julia Gillard insists her government stimulus measures saved Australia from recession.
Australians face a choice. a choice between my economic plan for the future or Mr. Abbott's lack of economic plan.
The debate in the US focuses on which party will help the American economy recover. But whichever side wins Saturday's election in Australia will assume control of an economy with some considerable strength, powered by exporting minerals to China. In Sydney, I'm Phil Mercer for Marketplace.
This morning, the jam maker Smucker's said its profits rose slightly in the last 3 months. People bought a little bit more jam and coffee and peanut butter and stuff. Smucker's is a dominant player in the food industry, and the interesting thing is the company is about to roll out dozens of new products. Why would Smucker's be feeling so frisky in this low-down economy? Marketplace's Jeff Tyler has answers.
Consumers are keeping a tight rein on spending these days, so you might not think it's the most opportune time to introduce low-salt pickles or sugar-free frosting. But another aspect of this economy works in Smucker's favor.
They're taking advantage of the fact that consumers are choosing to eat more meals at home.
Erin Swanson is an equity analyst with Morningstar. She says new health-conscious products reflect national trends.
People are watching what they eat, especially as the population continues to age.
And she says Smucker's is smart to expand into single-serving coffee.
Single-serve coffee cups is the fastest-growing segment of the coffee business, and so we think that there's an opportunity for Smucker's to expand its presence in the coffee aisle.
Smucker's bought Folgers Coffee about a year ago, and Swanson says the company is interested in expanding its line of products further by purchasing other brands. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
You know, we've been passing on so much bad news in recent weeks. We should tell you, there has been a glimmer of economic hope lately, and we hear about it now from Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
Mortgage rates are at record lows, and that explains why demand for refinancings hit a 15-month high last week. David Malpass at Encima Global says that helps homeowners.
That means their payments on a monthly basis will be lower and for a long period of time. So it's like they got a raise at work, and so that's very good news.
That extra cash will give the economy a boost, especially if homeowners spend it. Recently, Americans worried about their jobs have been saving a lot more, but Morgan Stanley economist Ted Weissman says maybe a lower house payment will get them to open up their pocketbooks.
We would think that given how high the savings rate has gotten now, we're probably getting pretty close to where people should start spending some more out of their income and meeting some of the pent-up demand that's built up.
Even if they don't spend it, homeowners could invest it, says Malpass.
Some of them will start a small business. They see that their payments are going to be less on their mortgage, and they can begin to invest in that business they've always dreamed about.
In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
President Obama still has yet to nominate anyone to head the new post of Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Several names have floated around Washington for weeks now, including a few high-ranking members of the administration. But Harvard Law professor Elizabeth Warren is credited with coming up with the idea of such an agency. Now a politically progressive group called the Main Street Brigade, funded by movie composer Hans Zimmer, is advocating Warren's nomination. And they've created a video and rap song.
Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, giddy up. Sheriff Warren's what we need, yo. Let me bleed, yo. She's not about the money and the green, no. She's about working class families and bringing them out.
Ryan Anthony Loomis is the rapper in the song. He's with us now to talk about it. Welcome to Marketplace.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Why'd you do this?
Well, they had, you know, they had the opportunity to get big name rappers, you know, and or comedians, but they wanted somebody who was a working class person. Like, you know, I work at Best Buy.
You're the target audience.
I am the target audience, yes.
Did you know who Elizabeth Warren was before you did this?
Actually, no, I didn't.
You didn't?
No, I didn't, no. And kind of, you know, now that I know who she is, I'm like totally following her. You know, it's something I think everybody should know about.
Why do you think she's got this cult status, Elizabeth Warren?
The cult status is the working people, you know, the everyday guy, the guy, you know, working 9 to 5 or 6 to 3, you know.
Has Elizabeth Warren seen this?
I'm not sure. You know, I know it was sent to her office. You know, if she's seen it or not, I'm not sure. I hope she has.
What kind of words were you looking for this thing?
I was looking for words that that one would sound cool in a rap. You know,
what kind of words sound cool in a rap?
Like yo, you know? Words like yo. But I like to dabble in poetry, so you know, I just made sure, like I talked about the banks, you know, and the people and finances.
It's got a country twang too.
It does have a country twang because of Time Magazine, where it said, you know, new sheriff in town.
And there's something about Oklahoma in there too.
Yes, that, you know, that was a little, you know, tribute to her being from Oklahoma. In rap in general, people are always representing, you know, where they're from. So I was like, oh, well, let's represent where she's from, Oklahoma.
Let's hear a little bit of it. Can you do know it by heart?
It's hard to do it without my cowboy hat. Yeah. Sheriff Warren's what we need, yo. Let me plead, yo. She's not about the money and the green, no. She's about working class families and bringing them out of financial crisis and tragedies.
Ryan Anthony Loomis, comedian, rapper.
Rapper, quote,
now
unquote.
Now involved in Wall Street reform as well.
Yes, yes.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And by the way, we've reached out to Professor Warren, and a source close to her says she has seen that video and was touched by it. We have a link to that video, by the way, at our website, marketplace.org. I got an email this morning from listener David Lefkowitz. He writes, when Intel announced they'd buy McAfee, the market reacted with apathy. With mass unemployment, more PC deployment looks doubtful, despite being hacker-free. David, that is beautiful. I'll take it from there. Potash, the big fertilizer, believes that on balance it's wiser to not go combining with BHP mining, so says their investment advisor. Jobless claims rose again this week. There's oil off the coast of Mozambique. There's salmonella, and profits fell a lot for Sears, but not for Dell. Scandals emerging. No matter the splurging you're doing, your olive oil isn't that virgin. And the oil spilled by our friend BP, we thought it was gone to a stunning degree. Turns out it's still there. It's just under the sea. I'll see you at marketplace.org.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.